Need your daily fix on mixed martial arts?
We're going to kind of recap Bellator 155.
From UFC 198.
Who's who?
Kind of a controversial decision.
And who's not?
I couldn't figure out why, and then it hit me.
Well, don't you fret, because Golden State Media Concepts got you covered. Get your daily dose of MMA podcasts. Everything from the UFC, Bellator Fighting Championships, Extreme Cage Fighting, Invicta Fighting Championships, and so much more. Join us as we talk about some of the biggest names in mixed martial arts. We've got you covered here on Golden State Media Concepts MMA Podcast.
Thank you for tuning in to the Golden State Media Concepts Mixed Martial Arts Podcast. And I am your host, Tate. And it is finally here. That is right. UFC 200. And, you know, this is supposed to be the biggest card in history. It will definitely be the most memorable card in history. I have my main man with me, Mr. William.
What's up?
And we've had a bit of a shakeup. We had a show where we were talking about all the changes and everything that was going on about John Bones Jones getting removed from the card because of PED use or alleged PED use. Can you say alleged or is it just factual now?
I don't know. The B sample came back as positive as well. We don't know what two substances he used on the banned list, but looks like he popped.
I'm really hoping that it was an accident on his part and not something intentional. But I would like to say this. I was watching the embedded video with Cormier, and Daniel Cormier is maybe the nicest guy in the UFC. He, you know, even when he was talking about, he was listening to John Jones's press conference, and he was like, I was shocked. I actually feel bad for the guy, you know, and his heart was, you know, kind of, he was actually kind of sad over what happened. Did that surprise you?
Not really. I mean, Daniel Cormier has proven to be a real champion, and inside and outside of the cage. The thing that gets him riled up about John Jones is more of him as a person. I mean, DC's gone through some tragedies in his life. He actually lost his young baby daughter back in the day because of a 18-wheeler crashing into a car. And I think that stems a lot of the anger that he has for Jones, in that he crashed into a pregnant woman. And that gets him really riled up, as well as the fact that they're both alphas. But as far as that, I've never had a problem with DC as a competitor, as a sportsman, so I really wasn't surprised on that way.
You know, I've never heard that portion, and I can't speak on what you just were talking about there. I just know that they've had a heck of a rivalry against each other, you know. And I thought after the first fight, it would kind of die down, but it never did, you know. But anyway, back to the main point of what we're talking about, and that is, you know, it's a shame that the main event doesn't happen. But if you're going to have a situation and you're going to, you know, that whole crazy saying about making lemonade out of lemons, Dana just did that. The fight was, you know, Cormier went from having no opponent to having an amazing opponent. A fight I'm really looking forward to now. Well, I was looking forward to that fight. Jones and Cormier, but I'm really excited about Anderson Silva versus Daniel Cormier. I'm not excited about Silva not having a training camp. Oh, I mean, this is the ultimate in short notice. This is technically 2 days of notice before, you know, he's actually in town. So what was your thoughts on them announcing that it's actually going to be Anderson, the Spider Silva versus DC?
Oh, man, that was a crazy period of them just scrambling to make a replacement and finding someone to fight at really short notice for DC. On paper, this is a great substitute for John Jones. I mean, he's one of the, Silva's one of the greatest of all time, but I can't ignore the fact that he's fighting on 2 days' notice. He hasn't really had a training camp, and he's coming off surgery. There's a lot of factors here that I just don't favor Silva at all.
You know, and you're actually forcing me to come out with my take on this a little sooner than I was even expecting, but I'm going to bring it out right now. I am a huge Daniel Cormier fan, and I'm also a huge Anderson Silva fan. But, yes, the Spider has only had a day notice, 2 days notice, no training camp. It's in a higher weight class. He's actually fighting the number, in my opinion, the number three. And now, you know, with Jones being gone, it could be gone as long as a year. Now the number two pound-for-pound fighter in mixed martial arts. I actually look at this fight and I say, I am leaning toward Anderson Silva. I'm not leaning toward. I'm taking Anderson Silva in this fight. And not this is the reason why is this. Daniel Cormier has been focused on one thing for a very long time, and that is getting John Jones. His training has been geared toward John Jones. All emotionally, he's been ready for John Jones. And then 2 days before the fight, it's one of the biggest letdowns of his professional career, and he is just defeated and deflated. And then out of nowhere, out of financial necessity, out of, you know, wanting to not lose what he's trained, because he's trained so hard for, he agrees to a fight that could be very dangerous. Yes, Anderson Silva has not trained for this fight. But number one, Cormier has the big letdown. He's not prepared for a fighter like Anderson Silva. I could see a major upset, and that's why I'm leaning toward Anderson Silva pulling off a huge upset and defeating Cormier in UFC 200.
I mean, this sport is crazy. Anything can happen. I mean, this is the first time that Anderson Silva is actually an underdog in any of his fights. But the fact is that DC has been training for the biggest fight of his life. He is in the greatest shape that he's ever been in. Anderson Silva definitely isn't, as you can see in the weigh-in. He had a little bit of a belly. He's been eating some pizza. He's only 198 pounds and with a shirt on. So he's given up a lot of factors here.
It's normal.
It's normal. He back. But I just don't see it happening. I think that we've seen Anderson struggle in the past with grapplers of all kinds. You saw in the Chris Weidman fight. You saw it in the Chael Sonnen fight, and I believe you're going to see it in DC as well. I mean, DC has thrown heavyweights up above their heads. He's suplexed heavyweights. He's suplexed light heavyweights. Anderson Silva is neither of those, and I think that he's going to go flying, and he's going to get ragdolled in this fight, and I just see a dominating performance.
Now, everything you're saying, I could see how you would say that. I just look at this as, you know, emotionally, the drain that happens to a fighter when you're so amped up and you've been focusing on fighting one guy for a year, you've been obsessed over a guy for a year, and then you're there, it's Christmas morning, and then you find out there's no Santa Claus. He's lost to Santa Claus. There's no John Bones Jones at the end of this rainbow for him. And with the way things have gone down with the drug test, there may never, ever be a John Bones Jones for him. That's a huge letdown. So the emotional drain from not getting what you want, the fact that, you know, the disappointment, preparing for someone totally different, I just think it's just too much going against Cormier right now. And like I said, I'm going for the upset. I just think there's just too many things, and it's not like the last few UFC events have not been full of upsets either.
Yeah, most definitely. But I mean, we'll see. I just see DC having the professionalism that takes to not take Anderson's challenge for granted. I saw how excited he was for the fact that he got a replacement opponent, and I just think that he's going to be able to take it in Silva.
You know, when I saw him, I saw the embedded, and when he got the news that he was going to be fighting Silva, and he was happy, you know, I think he was more relieved that, like, this won't be a total loss. You know, he'll get paid. It's exciting that he's not, it's not like a total letdown. But he's still answering questions about, you know, John Jones mentally. I don't think he's really shifted to Anderson Silva. And Anderson Silva is like no other fighter. He's very different. Now, the big difference that I agree with you is you're talking about one of the strongest guys in the mixed martial arts community. Daniel Cormier is definitely the stronger man. He has more power. And so I could see, you know, I understand where you would look at that and just say, if he gets a hold of Anderson Silva, that he could throw him around. Anderson Silva has fought at this weight class before, and he has one never lost in this weight, at this weight division. And I'm with Dana White when it says the best fight, his best fights have been at this weight class. I think Anderson Silva can handle the weight class. This is not the first time he's been here. He's fighting at his natural weight. I do worry about stamina, but I think early on, a lot of energy for him. I think it's going to be a big one. Like I said, I got an upset, but you know, when you're talking about upsets, let's shift gears a little bit and move away from this fight. We'll come back to this fight. Let's talk about the upset and the fact that we have a brand new champion. No more RDA. We have a brand new champion. Do you want to tell him who it is?
Eddie Alvarez.
Who?
Eddie Alvarez.
No way.
Yeah, he's from Bellator.
The man who was a force in Bellator is now a UFC champion. And I'm gonna pass this completely over to William, because I want you, because there's a lot of people don't know, who really know a lot about Eddie Alvarez. Talk to the audience about Eddie Alvarez, and you know, some of the championships he's won.
Oh man, I've been a huge fan of Eddie throughout his career. He came blazing out of the scene in the Dream organization. There was a tournament back then, and he really cemented himself in the picture by beating Shinya Aoki, who was a Japanese legend, grappling master, and he was able to get the championship in that organization. He shifted towards Bellator, had some wars in Bellator with Michael Chandler, became that champion as well after adjusting and being able to beat Chandler in their rematch. And then he got caught up a little bit in some contract disputes, and they were finally resolved, and he was able to get out of his Bellator contract, and he went over to the UFC. In his first fight in the UFC, he faced Donald Cerrone. He didn't look quite like he used to in Bellator, and it was kind of a step up in competition. So he stumbled in that one, lost a decision. But as of late, I was really surprised in this fight, because in his past few fights against Gilbert Melendez and Anthony Pettis, he played more of a safe route, and he kind of grinded them out. And in this one, we saw the Eddie of old. We saw the Bellator scrapper, the slugger, come out.
And he was a scrapper, dude. He really was a scrapper.
Ooh, he hit him with a hook it was so unorthodox that, I mean, RDA didn't even know what he hit him. He had some snaky leg going on, and he just couldn't get he had little Bambi feet on there, and he couldn't get right. And he just poured it on from there, almost landed a huge flying knee, and then he just took it to the finish.
Did you just call it a Bambi legs?
Yeah, his legs just weren't under him.
Oh, that's a good way to describe it. But yes, ladies and gentlemen, we have a new champion. I don't think a lot of people were really expecting that, but last night, just a big shocker out there.
Year of the upset.
It is definitely the year of the upset. And with that, that's what I'm telling you. Anderson, the Spider, Silva. Now, when we come back, and I snuck that in for William, wouldn't have a last thing to say. But when we come back, we're going to touch on the card, the UFC 200 card, going to give our prediction. And we're actually, normally we just cover the main card, but we're going to actually cover the second prelims as well. And we're going to talk about somebody never making weight. Will this person ever make weight? We'll be right back.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's GSMCpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Okay, we're back. And we were just covering all the changes as went on with the main event. We were talking about Anderson Silva and Daniel Cormier and how the new main event is those two, and there's no more John Jones and a drug suspension. Then we talked about Eddie Alvarez and his climb to being the new champion by knocking out RDA. And now we're gonna hit the cards. We're gonna hit the full card for UFC 200. I'm going to go out of order because the first thing I want to talk about is Johnny Hendricks. Johnny Hendricks missed weight again. Do you understand this? Again. I'm disgusted by that. You just go ahead. You start.
I'm not surprised. I mean, given Hendricks' history, I saw a video of him one time where he was cutting weight and he was in like a bus full of fighters. And they were just talking about some delicious food and all this food that they're missing out because they're cutting weight. And then Hendricks says, "Oh, man, I love that Little Caesars pizza. I always sneak out, and my coach would always yell at me for getting it. But, I mean, Little Caesars is amazing because their pizza stays the same no matter whether it's a day from now or 2 days." And that just gave me a bad signal about Hendricks. He's not willing to make the sacrifices in terms of diet. And really not professional on his point, and he's losing a lot of money, and I don't see him fighting in the welterweight division if, given the history of how he's missed weight, he's gonna be looking at 185 if he can't do this.
He should be banned from that division. He should not be allowed to fight in this division any longer. If it's the first time he's missed weight, I understand. If it was the second time he's missed weight, I would understand, but he consistently keeps missing weight. And the fact of the matter is, he should not be allowed to fight at the weight at his welterweight weight class, right?
Yeah.
He should not be allowed to be in the welterweight weight class any longer. And, you know, that's a shame to say that, because if he has to go up, he instantly becomes the small guy. Big Rig becomes Little Rig. And I don't think he'll do well in a higher weight class, but he's put himself in that situation, and I think that's the only option he has.
Oh, man, he would just get destroyed at middleweight. And the thing about this fight is that he's fighting Kelvin Gastelum, who also had similar problems with weight. Dana actually said that if he does, he actually sent him up to 185 because he couldn't make any weight, and you're going to see something similar with Hendricks, but Kelvin had the same problem, man. I like that they made this fight because it's really comes to the question. They're really rolling the dice on who makes weight. And this time, Kelvin did, and Johnny didn't.
Just nuts. I'm done with this one. And no, normally, I mean, and I've always been a supporter of Big Rig, but there's just been too many situations where he's not taking getting the weight down. I don't know. I don't want to say serious because, yes, he has taken it serious, but he hasn't gotten a job done. And that goes right toward professionalism. And so, you know, I'm just disappointed. So you can give your prediction. This fight doesn't exist to me.
Given that Johnny had such a rough time with that weight cut and how he looked in that Stephen Thompson fight, Kelvin's going to take it to him. I think Kelvin can win by decision.
Okay. So, like I said, I'm not giving my prediction on this one because this fight's getting skipped. I'm moving right on to the first prelim fight, which is a big fight with Sage Northcutt. Sage Northcutt and Martin. Enrique Martin. Now, this is an interesting fight for me. Sage is coming off of an interesting defeat where a lot of fighters thought he gave up very easy. But this is his chance to get back on track. He's the guy that has so much potential. When I look at this fight, and since I didn't give my prediction on this on the first fight, I look at this and I look at Martin, and I go through and I just say, you know, I think Sage is just too much for him. I think Sage gets back on track. I think Sage wins quite easily, and I've got him winning with a knockout.
I can't disagree with that because this fight was basically made to showcase Northcutt. I mean, I haven't heard of Enrique Marin before, and he's actually the only fighter on the entire card that, I mean, doesn't even have a Wikipedia page. So I don't have too much information about him, and I think that Sage is looking to rebound from his last loss. He said that he was sick with the flu in his last loss, and he didn't really look the same, but I definitely have Sage winning by knockout.
Okay. Now, Sage, Enrique, there's a fight on YouTube. I was able to find a fight of his on YouTube. And there was a couple of, there's a couple of fights that they kind of showcase on the press portal. So I was able to actually catch a little bit of him, but I'm not truly an expert. But everything that I've seen, I just think Sage is just way too much for him. So for that, I just have him, I got him losing. What's your thoughts?
Oh, I definitely have him losing.
All right. So we're going to go back and we're going to go to the next fight on this card. And this card is a guy that should be on the main card. But because this card is so stacked, we have TJ Dillashaw versus Rafael. And how do you say it?
A Sun Sal.
Okay. So in this particular case, TJ Dillashaw is actually one of the top fighters in all of mixed martial arts. He's a talented guy, pretty much from head to toe. This is one of those fights where I could definitely see him, really showcasing his talent. Rafael, he's actually a very tough fighter. He won't be a pushover, but in this fight, I got TJ Dillashaw coming through with a unanimous decision.
This is actually a rematch. Rafael was a second person to beat TJ back right when TJ was up and coming in division. It was right after he lost to John Dodson in the Ultimate Fighter finale. In that fight, we saw Rafael really nullify some of the striking improvements that Dillashaw had. Dillashaw just had recently started working with Ludwig at that point. But since his rise to the top and some of the wins that he's piled up and become champion against Henan Barao and gotten that experience against Dominic Cruz in a really close fight, I don't think that Rafael is going to be fighting the same fighter.
No, they're not the same fighters at all.
Yeah, and Rafael is actually coming off a huge layoff. He's gone through multiple injuries, so he's kind of a question mark in terms of that. I'm not sure what kind of shape he's going to be coming in, but I think that the TJ that he's going to face this time is going to be way too much for him. I see TJ winning by a decision. I see a dominant decision, and if anything, I see a third round TKO, if anything.
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me. And I don't mean any disrespect for a guy that is actually a very tough fighter, but I just think TJ's just way too much for him. Okay, so when we come back, we're going to touch on a little bit more of some of the upcoming fights here. So we got to take a quick break. It'll be a short one, but we'll be right back.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's GSMCpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Okay, we're back, and we've just been covering, you know, we covered a few things here with the early prelims. We touched on the guy who didn't make weight, Johnny Hendricks. William gave his prediction. Then we rolled right into Sage Northcutt's fight with Martin. And then Dillashaw versus a Sansal fight. And then we roll right into one of my favorite fights of the night. One of the fights I'm looking so forward to. I don't understand how this woman did not get a title shot first instead of Amanda Nunes. And that is Alpha Cat Zingano versus Julia Pena. And these two fighters are two of the absolute best fighters in the bantamweight division. These two fighters could definitely contend for the title. These two fighters could actually win the title. I have this as Cat Zingano's coming out party again. I got Cat Zingano winning impressively. I got her with a third round stoppage.
You know, the only reason that Cat didn't get the title shot since coming back is because she took such a long break. I mean, that Ronda Rousey fight was extremely devastating for her. She went through a personal loss in the loss of her husband, so yes. She had to take some time off. She ballooned up in weight, actually. I've been keeping track of her, and she had to cut down a lot for this fight. And with Kat, you have...
I apologize. I didn't mean to cut you off, though. You know, I saw those pictures of how much weight she had to lose for this fight. She had gained quite a bit of weight, though. I must admit that.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you aren't exercising, but it's easy to put on weight when you aren't doing too much. But she just needed a little bit of a mental break, and it looks like she's very fit for this fight. So the thing with Kat that you have is she has heart, and it doesn't make it, she's a queen of comebacks in the UFC, especially in this division. We saw it with Misha Tate in the Misha Tate fight, and I'm looking forward to that rematch eventually, but... as for this fight, I see it being a battle of wills. I mean, Juliana's going to try to take her down, impose her will on her. Kat may struggle with that at first, but I think that she comes roaring back, and she really puts it to Pena, and I see her winning by a stoppage late in the third round.
Quiz question of the day. The main event, Misha Tate, Amanda Nunes. What do they have in common?
They both lost to Cat Zingano via comeback.
Both of them got stopped by Cat Zingano.
Yep. And they were putting it to Zingano, both of them. They were absolutely destroying her.
But I don't know about it. I wouldn't say destroying him. I wouldn't say that. But I thought that maybe they might have been ahead, but I don't know about it. I don't agree with the destroying part.
Ooh, Tate fight, she had it, she was beating her down, taking her out, everything until the last round when Zingano came roaring back and just landed a knee and just really devastated her. As for Nunes was just putting it on her ground and pound.
Nunes had a much better success against her than I thought Misha Tate did.
Yeah, but that's what Kat does.
Kat, do you agree on this one? Kat Zingano is the, oh my God, I can't even think of his name right now. champion, the Robbie Lawler of the Williams division.
Definitely. I mean, she, you cannot deny her when she puts her medal to it.
She is truly the guy or the girl who you can never, ever count out. Now, we're going to move on, and we're going to go to, at one point in time, one of the guys that people thought was, maybe considered, could have been one of the greatest heavyweight champions of all time, Cain Velasquez, and his opponent today is Travis Brown. How are you seeing this shake out?
I see Cain coming back with a vengeance. He's definitely not the specimen in terms of the athletic specimen that he used to be when he was coming up in ranks and when he beat Brock Lesnar and all. He's gone through a lot of surgeries in terms of his knees, his back, his shoulder, pretty much everything. And that's because he worked so hard in the gym. I mean, he was lauded for his cardio back in the days, and he still, to the extent, has it. We didn't really see it in the Fabricio loss, but he was fighting at elevation.
I was just going to say, I think the biggest part about him losing his title was elevation. I never understood, even before the fight happened, I'm like, why didn't he come to Mexico City sooner? I just didn't understand that because with the elevation, that's a major factor.
Maybe he was overconfident, but I don't think that he is that way anymore. And he's been training with a monster in DC and Luke Rockhold. So I think that he's going to be very ready for anything that Travis Brown has. And in the past, we've seen Travis wilt to some of the pressure. I mean, he's a great when he's putting the attack on and when he's putting his offense on. He can wilt guys, but we've seen him wilt under the pressure, and I think that that's Kane's game. He's going to bring it to Travis. He's going to lay it to him, whether that's standing up, he'll take him down. He's just going to bring it to him, and I see Kane stopping this. It's going to be a bloody fight, in my opinion.
It's time to bring the pain. I got Cain Velasquez, and I got Cain Velasquez kind of early. I got Cain. I'm going to say it'll be early in the second round.
Yeah, I have the same. I think that he's going to be able to wilt him. He's going to be able to just gas him out in terms of the pressure that he's had. Travis has never, ever experienced the pressure that Cain can put on him. So he's in for a rough night.
All right, so we're going to move on from there, and we're going to go right on to it's for the interim featherweight title, but this could be for the title, because I don't know if Conor McGregor is actually going to come back down to this weight class. I could see Conor McGregor kind of vacating this title, the featherweight title, and going after the brand new champion at Eddie Alvarez at a one weight class up. So you have Jose Aldo versus Frankie Edgar. This is possibly the two best guys in the division. It is definitely the two of the toughest guys in the division. Give me a coin, I'll flip it, and I'll tell you who I got as the winner.
All right, here's a coin.
All right. Well, I think this one landed on his side. So I think it's going to be a double knockout in the eighth round. Oh, no, wrong sport. Okay. I'm taking Jose Aldo. He's been too good too long, and he was absolutely embarrassed by Conor McGregor. I think he really wants to prove that he is back. I think he wants his title in the worst way. I got to go in a decision. I got Jose Aldo winning by split decision over Frankie Edgar, because it's going to be a close, brutal fight.
Oh, I definitely think that Conor lit a fire under Aldo since beating him. He especially lit it in the lead up to their fight, which may have caused Jose to be a little bit too aggressive. But it seems like Jose is not taking anything lightly this time. He's really training to become the champion again. And he really wants to bring back the WEC, Aldo. That was full-out aggression, throwing double knees, all that. all the offense out as much as possible. But even though their first fight was very close, I had Jose winning pretty handily. He pretty much cruised through the first round, and then he used his lead to win on the judges' scorecard unanimously. But in this fight, he's facing Frankie, who is on a mission. He wants that belt back. He wants any type of belt. He wants Conor McGregor. He wants anybody in his way. And with that, I'm going to have to pick Frankie because I'm not sure if Aldo's had enough time to recover in terms of his chin. And I don't know if he's mentally ready. He might be over. He might be so ready and so anxious to get his title back that he's going to put himself vulnerable. He's going to make himself vulnerable in terms of some of his offense. And in the past, we've seen him stumble defensively. I mean, we saw it in the Chad Mendes fight. Chad and Conor were able to hurt him badly. And Frankie has really tuned up his wrestling as well as his striking. So I think that he's going to be able to knock out Aldo. And I have it as a third or fourth round knockout.
Okay. Now, you know, this is one of those situations where truly it could go any way. This is going to be, both fighters are mega motivated, and you know, both of them have something to prove and a lot to say on this one as far as what's going to happen here. I'm very, very curious to see how it turns out. Truly, I don't know who's going to win this fight. I really don't have a true winner. It could go either way, but if you put my feet to the fire, I'm taking Jose Aldo. But would I be shocked if Frankie Edgar won? Not a second. Okay, and with that, we're going to move on. We've already covered this fight, so we're going to touch on it just a little bit more, and that is Daniel DC Cormier versus Anderson the Spider Silva. This is the fight where William and I definitely have different opinions on who's going to win. I've taken the upset, the major upset. I just think that there's too much emotions going on for DC. The big letdown, the fact that he's been training for someone else. Mentally, I just don't see DC in this game, and no one should ever, ever take the Spider for granted.
Oh, I definitely think that Silva is one of the most dangerous fighters to ever live. But if I just don't want to give too much credence to the old Silva. I mean, the old Silva in that the record championship holder, pretty much the GOAT at the time that everyone was considering the greatest. Ever since his injury loss and just knockout loss to Chris Weidman, he hasn't been the same. We saw a lot of tentativeness in his Nick Diaz fight, and I wasn't really that impressed with his Michael Bisping fight. I thought that he could have had Bisping out of there a lot earlier, but he just seems to be in love with the fact that he can taunt people, really try to get in their brains and everything like that, and that may help him against DC. But if you stand up against Cage and you try to lull DC in, you try to wave that hand
in
there.
Oh, no, he's no fool. He's not going to do that, because if he does that, he may get launched into the fifth row.
I don't know. I mean, we've seen Silva do some crazy things. I wouldn't be surprised if he did. I mean,
DC's way too big for him to lay up against a cage and say, hit me.
I mean, Silva's courageous enough to try. And if he does any of that, he gives DC any opening, DC is going to grab a hold of him and just throw him up in the air.
Also, I'm going to say two of the nicest guys in mixed martial arts. I'm really excited about this fight. Part of me is like, man, I don't really want to see either one of them lose. But then I can't wait to see the fight. So, I am excited about seeing this one. With that, this concludes our talk about this, about Cormier Silva, and we're gonna move right on in to the beast, the big old beast, Brock Lesnar versus a smaller beast and Mark Hunt.
Oh, I am so excited for this fight. Anytime you put Brock Lesnar in the ring, you're gonna get eyeballs, and the man is a specimen. He will come at you and he will run so hard that he's going to try to tackle you in the ring and he's going to bring it all. And that's what is so appealing as a fighter that he has and that he brings to the ring. I mean, he gives it all no matter what.
Okay. First off, does this fight even need 3 rounds or five rounds or anything? I think it only needs 1 or 2 rounds. Brock Lesnar, he's 265 pounds. You know, Mark Hunt's 265 pounds. These are two big, giant guys who are just massively strong, massively powerful. If Brock's going to come over across the ring, he's going to try to take him down and take him down fast. If he does, I think this fight is going to be over quick. If he goes in and he tries to take him down and he misses, don't be surprised if an uppercut does not put Brock Lesnar to sleep. So with this fight, I'm going to let you go with your prediction first. I'll let you give you a breakdown, and then I want to hear your prediction, and then I'll give you mine.
All right, well, I think that Brock is going to do exactly what we think he's going to do. He's going to try to take him down. He's going to bull rush him. But Mark is very experienced. His takedown defense has improved greatly in his UFC career. And I see it how you just said. I mean, I see Brock lunging in for a takedown and Mark Hunt uppercutting him and trying to take his head off, hitting him real good. And Brock is not a fan of getting hit. So I think he's going to either cower from that or he just won't. It's just going to be lights out. And I see Mark Hunt with a devastating walk-off KO.
Okay, so you got a Mark Hunt and a walk-off KO. I have the big beast coming across the ring with a full head of steam coming right at Mark Hunt. And I got Mark Hunt cracking him and knocking him silly. He's going out. I got Mark Hunt winning this bad boy. By KO early.
I mean, you started that, and it sounded like Lesnar was just going to tackle him through the cage. I mean, I was so hyped for that. I was just having the mental breakdown of that. And then he's I see the exact same thing. I mean,
yes, we definitely agree on that one. I got Mark Hunt. The big problem is this. Brock Lesnar does not have the strongest chin. Second off, Brock Lesnar does not like to get hit. Third off, Brock Lesnar has not stepped in a ring in a very long time. I just think it's too much, too soon. I think they should have put him in with a different fighter that he could have gotten at least knocked a little ring rust off and then put him in the ring with someone like that. I got Mark Hunt winning this bad boy by KO and early.
I see the same, but the man is Brock Lesnar. I mean, he made a career in the UFC out of just demolishing people, bullying them because of his size and everything. So it's hard to discount him, but I think that the layoff and the fact that he's facing one of the biggest and strongest heavyweights out there, that's really riding the momentum of some of his wins, especially against Frank Mir. I think that he's in for a rough night. I'm going to say good night, Brock Lesnar.
How early?
Oh, and then the first two rounds, I would say late in the first or early in the second.
I got it within the first 3 minutes.
Ooh.
I do. I just don't. If he had a little more time to knock some ring rust off, you know, that would be a different story. But you just don't come off the street and, you know, and just be like, okay, I'm ready to roll. Let's do this.
I mean, that's how Brock Lesnar started his career. He just jumped in the ring and he just started taking guys out.
But I agree with you on that one. But if you remember, Brock had a fight before he came to the UFC. This is a situation where, you know, by the time he got to the UFC, he had been training. He actually had a real-time fight. Then, you know, and then he had his second, was it second fight or third fight against Frank Mir when he lost?
He had his second fight. That was actually his first fight in the UFC.
Right. So he came to the UFC, he lost. Then he got on the, that's when he got on his the trail of just really just going through and just ripping through people. This time, there's no fight in another division. There's no easy fight for him to just kind of knock that ring rust off. And that's why I got him losing, and I got him losing very fast. You know, I'd love to see it. I hope I'm wrong, because having Brock Lesnar come in and pull off the big fight, running that right into from Spider upsetting Daniel Cormier, and then Brock Lesnar going in and taking out Hunt, and then going right into that main event. The main event's going to be rocking at that point if that happens.
Yeah, it'd be fantastic. That'd be amazing. This card is so amazing. Thank you, UFC, for putting this together.
Dana, I got to agree with you, with William. Thank you very much, especially by saving it, by putting Anderson Silva and Daniel Cormier. I mean, top notch.
I mean, that was the best replacement fight that you could have put on at this point. I mean, everything worked out. I mean, I wish that we had seen the Jones versus DC fight. I wish that we even saw the Conor versus Diaz fight. But everything that you've done on this card, absolutely amazing.
Phenomenal. Okay, now let's go into the main event. We got Misha, which is my cousin, four times removed, Tate, and Amanda, no relations, Nunes. I'm looking at this fight. This is one of those fights where it's going to be a lot of action. It's going to be a lot of, you know, a lot of ground and pound going on. And I think it just comes down to who's going to be the tougher, scrappier fighter, because these guys like to mix it up, get in close, take it to the ground, and get rough. How do you see this going?
Well, first of all, I just want to say that Misha had a rough weight cut. I mean, she woke up late, and she had to really scramble to make her weight. She had to just strip herself naked just to make the weight. And so that could play a factor in it. I don't know how she's going to rebound from that, but given that it was an early weigh-in, they have more time to prepare and everything. So I don't think it's going to be too much of an issue, but that's something you also have to consider. Everything is a variable. But as for this fight, I see it being an absolute battle in the first round, and that's really going to be the tale of the fight. I mean, Amanda is a lioness in that first round. I mean,
Mufasa?
She's amazing in that first round. She brings the pressure on there. She just tries to really take it to her opponents. But after that, we see a lot of drop off in her performance, and she doesn't. And in the past, she's really struggled with the third round, and that's as far as she's taken it. And I've always seen her gas by the end of that. So I think that Misha will be able to withstand that storm, if not really implement her game plan to fight off Amanda. But that first round is really pivotal. I see Amanda really pressuring her, and then Misha surviving that storm and really taking it to Amanda, and Amanda will have nothing left when it gets toward the championship rounds, if it does. And I just see her getting either submitted or knocked around on the ground.
Clarify your prediction, my man.
Okay, well, and I have a late third round TKO or submission.
That's not clear.
All right, I'll take a TKO then.
Thank you. I got to hold your feet to the fire on this one. All right. This fight is a situation where I could see these two going at it. It's going to, like I said, they're going to be rolling around a lot. I still have this fight. And wait, before I make my prediction, the absolute positive worst situation that could happen in this fight is that Amanda Nunes wins. Do you agree with me on this one? And if you do, you understand why?
Oh, man, all the implications of all the contenders. I really just want to see Ronda Rousey come back. I want to see them there be like a trilogy fight. There's put in some Cyborg in there. But if Amanda wins, it just throws everything.
Everything's just messed up. Everything is just, you know, where does Holly Holm fits into things? Where does Misha Tate fits into things? Where do Kat Zingano fits into things? Everything gets messed up if Amanda Nunes wins this fight. But giving you my prediction, it's not going to happen. My cousin, 14th removed, Misha Tate, is going to take this into the third round, where she is going to rear naked choke and tap out Amanda Nunes. I got the champ keeping her belt, rolling right on in to a Misha Tate Ronda Rousey rematch.
I mean, I'd be fine with that. I mean, if Ronda can't recover or really get in shape by the end of this year, I'd be fine with a Zingano rematch if Zingano is able to pull it off against Pena. I don't know if Pena is going to be able to fight Tate because they're kind of training partners, but
not going to happen. If Ronda Rousey's out of the picture, you're going to have a Misha Tate Chris Cyborg fight. Mark your calendar.
I'd love to see that. I saw it in the film, actually.
I think he lost his train of how to speak for a second there.
I mean, they both starred in a movie set before, and they pulled off a horrible fight scene together. I watched that and was not very impressed. I want to see it in real life, so I'm looking forward to that one if that ever happens.
But honestly, if Nunez wins, it just shakes up the apple cart, and then it's just the whole. Actually, if Nunez wins, it sets up the next, like, year and a half for the women's division. The women's division becomes a round-robin tournament at that point.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to watch that, though. I'm not that big of a fan of Nunez. I just don't think that she is well-rounded enough. I don't think that she has the cardio to face the upper echelon of fighters. She just a storm in those early rounds. So that's what I see from her. I'd rather, much rather see a Misha Tate, Holly Holm, Ronda Rousey, Chris Cyborg tournament. Just a round robin. I'd just love to see that.
I'm with you, my man. All right, so you've gotten our predictions for UFC 200. I know this is our, I think this is our fourth or fifth show this week. Is that right? Yes, the pound for pound men, women. Yes, this is our fifth show for this week. We have been very, very busy. I hope you have enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to hearing what everyone has to say. You can always follow us on going to www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can always download us by going to the iTunes music store. And under podcasts, and you can always download us. You can go to Stitcher and Google Play, and or you can actually follow us on Facebook and Twitter. I am always open to getting messages from everyone, and love to hear what you have to say about our shows. So with that, good night.